This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and the people. This is the end of the month, pretty much. We're winding down. Actually, next week's will be the last one of the month. But it's just dawning on me now that that's what I have to start saying, is the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and the people. Because as you guys know, this month has been all interviews, all conversations that I've had with people. I don't even like to call them interviews. I like to call them conversations because that's what they are. I've talked with everybody since I've sat down with them, and the relationships that I'm developing. It's such a great community, and the people going forward, I'm meeting more and more people, setting up more and more conversations coming in the next months, in next year. Can't wait to get to all of this stuff. I can't wait to sit down every week and talk to somebody when that comes. Next week, following week, not this week, this Thursday, we have the Thanksgiving podcast. That is coming out. We're all putting it out, all three podcasts, myself, AV Rant, and HT Guys. We're all putting it out Thursday morning for you, so you'll have it Thanksgiving Day. And obviously, if you don't listen to it then, you can listen to it at my regularly scheduled time, which will be Friday. But that's this week's podcast, but we're all dropping it on Thanksgiving. And then next week, I'll be doing a movie review, Back to Basics. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'll let you know next Tuesday what movie it is. Don't want to get ahead of myself here. But hey, let's get to the open, the thank yous, the thank you to you guys. Thank you to everybody over at Patreon, all my patrons supporting me. Thank you very much. If you'd like to join my patrons, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and click on a button, click there. And you can actually on my website, you can click the big red button. It'll take you right there too. Website's brightsidehometheater.com. But you go to Patreon. And you can donate as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like. And all monies go into the podcast, the little apps that I use and all fun stuff like that. It helps me support the podcast that way. The other way you can support the podcast. Before I get to that, the other way you can support the podcast, you can go to tpublic.com or click on the link in the show notes to take you to my webpage at tpublic.com, and you can buy merch for Christmas. Look at that. I don't even know if it'll be there in time, but who knows? But you're buying it for yourself anyways. Start a conversation. Wear a t-shirt. Wear a sweatshirt. Somebody goes, home theater, what's that? And then you get to tell them all about it. So you can try it that way. The other way you could support the podcast, go on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, have fun in the conversations, talk to me on Twitter, and that's what this podcast, Tuesdays, where the listeners take over, that's where all that gets taken care of. I talk to everybody here on Tuesdays, and that's what we're doing. And there's one more way you could support the podcast, and I haven't mentioned this in so long. And I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because I love my community. I don't need all of this other stuff, but I guess I do need all this other stuff. But it's called a review. You could give me a review. I used to talk about it a long time ago, and I don't know why I stopped, to be honest with you, because they are great. And BJ Horton 2005, left me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And BJ Horton says, the title of his review, 5-star review, is Amazing Podcast, Big Personality. And he says, I really love this podcast. This is what you enjoy once you have the equipment set up, no matter how big or small. He breaks down movies mostly based on the experience, especially sound and impact. There has been more visitors and interviews lately, which has been a blast. Thank you very much, BJ. I saw that. I was at work and I'm like, you know what? I haven't even checked my reviews in a while. And I went on my Apple thing. I scrolled down. I was like, hey, there's a new one. And that one was from November 1st. BJ did that one. So like I said, I haven't asked for it in a long time, but it is a great way to support the show. It's free. You just go on Apple iTunes and click on my podcast and leave a review, leave a 5-star review. Every time I talk about it, I'll tell you there's a review up there, like listening in the review. It's a 1-star review and it says like listening to Dolby Digital paint dry, something like that. I can't remember what it is. Listening to paint dry in Dolby Digital. That's what it was. And that was one of the first reviews I ever got. And what are you going to do? You know, it's not for everybody. And I said that in my first podcast that, hey, I've spent my entire life watching people's eyes glaze over when I start talking about this stuff. So if it's not for you, it's not for you. And the other funny thing is if you look on there, I got a 3-star review, but there was no comment along with it. So apparently I'm just average to somebody and not enough to leave a comment on how I could improve. But all right. Anyways, so yeah, thank you very much. And like I said, that's a great way to support the podcast. Really appreciate it. And I will talk about it here. All right, let's get on to this week's stuff. We have so much to get to this week. First up, and this is going to come at the end of the podcast. We have a question. Will you be doing, this comes from Francis. He says, will you be doing a video on your thoughts on your Lumigen? I will put this at the end of the podcast. And I'll explain all of my reasons there, but that will be coming at the very end of the podcast. Also coming up after I get through everybody, we have a conversation today. I'm going back to talking. Todd's coming in. I already talked to Todd, I should say, and we already talked all about IMAX Enhanced. IMAX Enhanced, huge topic right now, huge controversy. So I've already recorded that interview. We'll be dropping that in at the end. So anybody that mentioned IMAX Enhanced, I got some of the people in there in that conversation, but we hit on pretty much every topic, every subject about IMAX Enhanced to try and give, one, our opinions on it, and two, give the most information that we could on what it is, what it means moving forward, and all of that, because it seems to, there's a lot of buzz about it. I got a bunch of questions and comments about it this week, so I thought I would bring somebody in, and Todd is the guy, because Todd and I were going back and forth on Twitter, and we seem to have conflicting opinions. Like, he seemed to be a little bit, like, he said it was more marketing and he was saying it like in a negative, like he didn't like it. And I liked that. I wanted to have him on just for that reason, so that we could go back and forth, because I do like it. So we do that. And he touches on the history of it. He brings in some information that I didn't know yet. Really good really good conversation. So let's get to this week's comments before we get to all of that. All right, this week, WV Brew at Brightside HD. Best news about this will be 4K transfers of 1 through 4. You know it's coming. And talking about Mel Gibson confirmed his Lethal Weapon 5 plans. So, of course, Mel Gibson looks like he's going to be directing Lethal Weapon 5. And WV Brew, like me, is speculating that eventually when that movie comes out, we'll get the 4K versions of 1 through 4. Fingers crossed. Hoping for that myself. Todd Anderson, he tweeted at me. He says, thanks to Jason Rosenfeld for joining me to dig deep into the visual science behind the impact of bias lighting. Deep he dug. Come geek out over the hows and whys you should use it. And I highly, highly recommend checking out that video over on YouTube. It is really, really good. You're geeking out. It is nerd heaven. Jason gets deep into why you need bias lighting, why you should have bias lighting, what it can do for you. He gives a bunch of examples on YouTube. I listened to it. I watched it. And he's going to be coming up here someday. We don't know when. We have the holidays coming and everything like that. But probably sometime next year, I'm going to be sitting down with Jason, and I can guarantee it's going to be a lot of fun, because listening to him with Todd, I was like, oh, I got to get this guy on. Next up, MP on Twitter. Just wanted to let you know, just started following you. Love your passion and podcast. Thanks, MP, and thanks for your comments on IMAX. I believe we do get to your comment later on. All right. WV Brew, he sent a screen grab of an article about widescreen review and custom home theater design to switch to digital publishing exclusively. So magazines going to completely digital. Really sad, but it's a way to keep it. It's sad, but at least they're doing something digitally. It's to save on costs, especially now with, you know, a paper shortage and all of that. It's like, you might as well go digital, because it's literally costing them more and more money just to print, because the paper costs money. So, all right, that's sad, but at least there's still something to read. WV Brew also says, may want to hold off on Mad Max Road Warrior 4K. I already own the Steelbook. And then he sent a screen grab as well. It appears that the Warner, and this is, comes from an article. I'm sorry, I don't know if he sent who this article is from. It's just literally just a paragraph here. So it says, it appears the Warrior's new, the Warner's new 4K Ultra HD of Mad Max 2, which promised a new Dolby Atmos mix, as well as the previous 5.1 and original 2.0 audio tracks, does indeed include a new Dolby Atmos mix. But that mix alters many sound effects and is missing a number of others. What's more, the 5.1 and 2.0 tracks are not original, but are in fact just fold-downs of the new Atmos mix. Disappointing all the way around, basically. And then he also sent another link that of a tweet that went out. Due to a manufacturing error, all copies of the new Mad Max releases, including the 4K collections and Steelbooks, have been pulled. So if you got one or can get one, I don't know, but Amazon, he said, WV Brew made a comment, seems to be true. Amazon, Best Buy not selling now for new 4K of Road Warrior or beyond. So we'll have to see what happens with that. That's a shame. So, all right. On YouTube, Daddio77, awesome interview talking about the home theater chat I had with Todd of AV Nirvana. Thank you, Daddio77. WV Brew, Brightside HT, the one-hour traffic scene is fantastic. And I'm guessing he means one-hour mark of Gattaca. And I'm guessing he's saying there's a fantastic, see what he did there? Fantastic scene here where it's loaded with pans. Because at first I thought it was a typo or something, like he fat-fingered. But the P and the F are pretty far apart on a keyboard. So I don't know if, I think he literally, and it's all in caps. He tweeted this out and it's all in caps. So I know exactly what you're doing there, WV Brew, and I really appreciate it. So I'll have to check out that 1 hour mark of Gattaca and see what you're talking about. Haven't had the opportunity yet, but I will. WV Brew also says, at Brightside HT, Quello deal Black Friday, 70% off for Black Friday, stream thousands of concerts and documentaries. Discover the deals. Now only $49.99 a year off of $79.99 for 2 years, limited time. So definitely check that out. Like I said on Twitter, I'm still using my Quello that I signed up for a year ago, and I don't use it all the time. I'm not big into music, but for $50, I've already gotten my money's worth for the year, because my wife and I have sat down and gone to a concert, and we literally tailgated. I talked about it here on the podcast, and it's in your theater. It was incredible. It's a lot of fun. We saw Def Leppard. We've seen some 80s stuff, just messing around with it, but it was worth it. And if you love music, it's definitely worth it. So if I got my money's worth and I'm not big into music in my theater, you probably will get your money's worth too. Todd Anderson. Great listen, talking about my conversation with SVS, with Nick and Larry. Thank you, Todd. Theo, hi, DJ. Great show. Very enjoyable. WV Brew, enjoyed this episode a lot. I know of no other companies that have this level of engagement with consumer. I bought a PB2000 for $600 last year, Black Friday. Never a moment of regret. And exactly. That's why I wanted to have, I didn't know I was going to be talking to Nick and Larry. I didn't know. I just knew that when I started getting the idea on I wanted to talk to other people, it was probably right after I talked to Tom the first time. And I was like, you know what? I would like to get somebody on from SVS, because talking with them on the phone about, you know, my subwoofers and setup and all of that stuff. And I had an issue with my subwoofer at one point. That people were so helpful and so great that I'm like, I got to get somebody from that company on. And listening to them on AV Rant and HD Guys too, they were really good. But everything over there is always over everywhere else. It's always about the gear and it's always about how to set it up and stuff. And you know, that's not what my podcast is about. I'm about the experiences. And I thought it would be so much fun to do what we did last week. And that's get into some scenes. And Larry was, woof, he's insane. Larry's awesome. And the way he can break those scenes, and he trains everybody in breaking those scenes down to the decibel level and the decibel, the frequencies, and so much fun and way more than I ever expected. And I'm really excited to be, I'm excited and looking forward to working with him some more, collaborating with him some more. Mark V says, at Brightside HD, DJ, you've been talking about white van speakers, and it's hilarious. I've had a pair of white van speakers for over 20 years, my friend. For over 20 years. My friend bought three sets here in Texas and couldn't sell them, so he sold me a set for $50. Tower's still going strong and sound good, too, LOL. I'm like, it's... Everybody's got a white van story. It's funny. It's like, where does that come from? I don't know. You know what I want to know? That's an interview. That will literally be an interview. That's somebody I want to sit down with. Somebody that actually sold out of the white van. Like, how did that process work? Where did those speakers come from? I can't imagine they came from, I mean, do they come from like a real store and they're just trying to get rid of these things and make a few bucks? Like, it's like legit. They're like, here, we're going to throw them out. Just jump in a van and go sell them somewhere. I don't know. I would love to get somebody on like that. I think that would be hysterical. BJ Horton 2005 at Brightside HT. I think I might have seen Total Recall maybe as a child and it freaked me out. But as an adult, whoa, this is crazy and very funny too. Ha ha. Yeah, Total Recall is so good. The original, that is. So good. So funny. Watching that, I saw that in the theater, and Schwarzenegger at the time, and just going, the history at that time, the special effects at that time, it was just so, so great, so much fun. Theo, keep them coming, love the show, talking about my sit down with the SVS guys. Also, Theo on YouTube, really enjoyed the boys, great show, DJ. And also on YouTube, Mike Schramm says, just found this channel, but have been following SVS for a little while. This is fantastic stuff. Keep it up. And he wrote fantastic in all caps. So thank you very much, Mike. Really appreciate it. And I am going to do my best to keep it up. All right. That'll be it for this week. Let's get to that IMAX enhanced conversation with Todd Anderson from AV Nirvana that I was talking about. So we'll get to that, and then we'll come back after that, and I'll give you my thoughts on the Lumigen. All right, let's get to that sit-down conversation with Todd. Hey, Todd, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
No problem. No problem. We went back and forth on Twitter, and that's why I wanted to have you jump on. You seem to have not a different opinion. I agree with your opinion on IMAX enhanced, but I felt like your tweets felt like you were saying it was a negative, that it's like IMAX enhanced is like, it's just marketing. So before we get into some of the comments, because the reason that I wanted to have you on is let's wrap all this up together, because I think IMAX Enhanced, it's believe it or not, how can this be controversial? But it is.
It sure feels that way. Yeah. I have such mixed feelings about it. And I think a lot of it comes from the launch of IMAX Enhanced. It happened at Cedia in 2018.
Yep.
And I remember being on the show floor and the folks at Sound United, manufacturer Marantz and Denon, they were literally on the floor putting stickers, IMAX Enhanced stickers, onto their new receivers. And, I was chatting up with some of those folks and they didn't really seem to know what it meant. It was like a certification thing, but nothing.
The people
was
doing
really
the stickers didn't know? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it seemed like it was kind of rushed out.
Okay.
And it wasn't really defined what it was going to be yet. They were talking about, well, it's going to have these picture enhancements. Well, what are they? Well, we're not really sure. It's going to have sound enhancements. Well, a special version of DTS:X. Well, what does that mean exactly? Well, no one really seemed to know what that meant. Nobody could really define it. So from the very get-go, I kind of had a little bit of this feels like a marketing, almost like a THX certification.
Absolutely. That's where I completely agree with you. Okay.
Type of thing. So I don't really know what to make of it. Now it has been rolling out slowly, and it at the beginning, they released some of the IMAX enhanced 4K Blu-rays. Mm-hmm. I don't know do you have any of those?
IMAX enhanced Blu-rays? Yes. I have. Yeah. I think I have a couple of the, they're not really movies. They're like the Discovery version.
Under the Sea.
Under the Sea. I think I bought one of the kids' movies just to see what it was all about, because Sony's big into it. And my projector is IMAX enhanced. I did not buy it because of that, but it comes with IMAX enhanced. And I think Venom is IMAX enhanced. Zombieland, both Zombielands are, Zombieland and Zombieland Double Tap, I have both of those. Those are IMAX
enhanced.
Bad Boys
for Life, I believe, is also.
I think Bad Boys for Life, I think, is that the only one? Maybe the other one too, I'm not sure. But yeah, I have a few. And if you want, I mean, we can get into that in a little bit if you want, but, or just.
Well, what here's what I thought was interesting. So this Denon receiver that I was using at the time, it had a IMAX enhanced firmware update, which I downloaded, and I tried that Under the Sea movie, but DTS:X Pro wasn't a thing at
Not
the time.
Yet. Right.
So I'm a little confused about it. Now it looks like IMAX enhanced now is linked to DTS:X Pro.
Maybe since then, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, seems disjointed to me. Do you see what I'm getting at? It's kind of like, the disc is there, it's IMAX enhanced, and I've heard it at demos at multiple shows.
Right.
It doesn't sound any different than any other demo to me, and the look and feel of the film.
So, Right. So
aside from aspect ratio, but
correct. And not everything, it's not always about aspect ratio necessarily, but one of the things, before I get to my overall opinion, one of the things about IMAX enhanced, one of the reasons I think that somebody like you or myself, we're not going to notice a difference, because we're usually watching this stuff on stuff that's already well calibrated.
Yeah.
It's a good setup, right? So if I liken IMAX enhanced to, like you said, like THX, and I also liken it to filmmaker mode for televisions.
Well, definitely it does do that.
Right? It does.
That's a positive.
That exactly. And that's, I think what I'm at, in my opinion, what IMAX Enhance is geared towards, and why, like you said, it's like, yes, it's not 100%. Maybe it got rushed on the rollout. We're not 100% sure what it is, because I, in my theater, would probably never use IMAX Enhanced in the gear. Okay. Like my projector, as we were talking earlier, I've had calibrated many times, yearly. I get it checked up. I get a checkup on it. So I know that that's doing what it should be doing. My sound, and in the early IMAX Enhanced, what happened was, and I learned this through Rob at AV Rant, is that IMAX Enhanced, when you put that on, it would turn off your bass management. So if you ran Odyssey EQ in your Denon and you got your room all nice, IMAX Enhanced would bypass that because it would bypass everything that you've done,
right,
because it would set it up to the way you want. For all intents and purposes, for guys like you, that's a you and me, that's a downgrade.
Yeah, totally.
But for the masses, it might not be, right? For most people that are like, I want, if you have IMAX Enhanced, I think the plan is if you have IMAX Enhanced throughout the chain, meaning software, hardware, and then your display, you'll know that you're getting as close to what the director intended on that disc or the purest version of that disc with no calibration, without no need for setup. You just plug and play.
The audio side is odd, though. If it's shutting down the bass management in your room, let's say.
Right.
That, to me, seems like an overreach.
It does. I'm wondering if the new DTS:X Pro version doesn't do that.
Well, it might not. I mean, DTS:X Pro, from what I understand, my impression of it is that it expands the number of height channels.
Yes.
From 4 to more.
It basically brings it to what Atmos has always said they have, is like, you can, it's infinite, supposedly, right? The program can just keep adding speakers and it'll do the math.
Right. Which you can't take advantage of unless you have a receiver or a processor with
that'll do the math.
Right. Coding. Right.
Right.
Which, you know, with this Disney Plus thing,
That's not going to come through streaming. You're not getting that.
No.
You're not getting anything like that. But that's fine, because we're not getting the true Atmos through streaming either.
No.
Right?
No.
So, I mean, there is a compromise with streaming, and it still sounds great. But at the same time, the DTS:X that we will be getting through for the first time in the, you know, through one of the larger streaming services, we have that. I think it's going to be a game changer, because if we know anything from DTS, is they like to up their game by, you know, fattening the sound by giving it a little bit more bass than maybe a typical Atmos track. So the masses hear that and go, well, that's better. It just sounds better because, you know, it thumps like my car, you know, bass in my, I really like that. When it might not be better, but hey, it's, you know, us home theater fans, the people that pay attention to all this, like, we know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we get into the market, it's marketing. But this is why I believe that this is a game-changing thing, because what they're doing is it's just going to bring the masses in. And think of all the people on Twitter, not just my followers, not just the people that read, AV Nirvana, but everybody is like, what's IMAX Enhanced? It's getting people talking. And like for people to be like yourself, go, well, it's just marketing. Well, it's friggin' working. I'm like, and that,
well, it definitely got a lot of attention. You're right. You're right about that.
And I put out a plan when they rolled this out in 2018. They also announced that Infinity War was going to be filmed fully in IMAX. And I was like, we're going to get that in IMAX. And I had said at the time, I didn't have this podcast at the time, but I talked to my buddy John on my other podcast. I was like, I am hoping that when they do this, DTS:X, we'll get a better version of a Thor Ragnarok. We'll get, maybe they'll start rolling, and we'll get the home theater fans, they'll roll this stuff out and they're double, triple dipping, and I got to buy another disc, but an IMAX Enhanced Thor Ragnarok with a better soundtrack.
Right.
Oh my God. And then I started putting the pieces together and looking at what Disney's doing, and everybody's saying, well, Disney's kind of crapping out on their sound here. Their Atmos isn't very good. What if they were doing that on purpose, and then they roll out IMAX Enhanced, and IMAX Enhanced with DTS:X sounds fantastic? Come on. I mean, it's shady.
For the enthusiast, I hope that's true, but
me too.
Boy, if they were doing that, I don't know how
that's
I feel
a
about
conspiracy. That. That's a home theater conspiracy theory.
It totally is.
It totally is. But I can't imagine that that literally happened, because the poor sound designers, could you imagine being told drop it a few dBs here and there because we're going to be doing something in a couple of years? That sound designer's like, well, wait a minute, my name's on this. I don't want to do that. So I don't think that's the case.
I can't imagine they were doing that.
Right. But with IMAX Enhanced coming, here's an opportunity for them to maybe correct an oversight that they had and make a few bucks at the same time. And, you know, Disney's likes to make a few bucks.
Oh yeah. Look at how they have their vault.
Yeah.
You know, where they keep their films and then they slowly release things. Then
yeah.
Pull them back. Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the things about this IMAX thing too, that I find really interesting is, you know, there's the IMAX that you and I know from like the Air and Space Museum here in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
that huge domed screen. And you sit down and you see a 45-minute long film that was actually shot in the IMAX film stock that's the equivalent of like 16K.
Yeah.
You know, they can only film for like 15 minutes at a time. It's what Christopher Nolan used.
Yep.
In Batman. That's different than when they say they're filming the Avengers.
Infinity War,
In IMAX. My impression is what they did is they shot it on like 35 millimeter or whatever they were doing. And then they take it into the production and they use their DRM process. I think it's called DRM, where they go in and they actually alter the image.
Mm.
They enhance the brightness. They take out grain. You know, they do all this post-processing. Right. Am I wrong about that? Is that they didn't actually film?
I'm not 100% sure. I know that Infinity War and Endgame, from all the reports I read, were supposed to be filmed 100% with IMAX cameras. So,
okay.
What?
Be interesting to research that. Yeah. It could have been IMAX digital cameras also. I think they've been using those, which
probably
are different than the film stock that's.
I do agree that it wasn't shot in the same way. I think the technology had evolved that you could shoot the entire movie. Because, like you said, Nolan shot his, it was only specific scenes.
Yeah.
And that was, it wasn't in Batman Begins. It started with Dark Knight. And they're fantastic. And I think the technology evolved enough that you could, I mean, both of those movies are 3 hours long, Infinity War and Endgame. So
yeah, it'd be worth researching and see if it's, I don't think that it is the film stock. I think it's a digital.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think they look great. I mean, from what I've seen on Disney Plus, I mean, if mm-hmm. we can get a disc, imagine what the disc version will look like. I think it looks better than what I see. I mean, if I get into the nitty gritty and I look and I do an AB between the disc at, you know, CinemaScope and then the IMAX Enhanced, I think the black it's a little bit muted compared to the disc, the black mm-hmm. levels, the brightness, the vibrancy of the colors, but it's so slight that by expanding the screen, going to IMAX Enhanced ratio, that way overcompensate, because you're just like, wow, it just looks so much better. It's like, I mean, the images, figures on the screen, like the one I tweeted out a couple weeks when it first dropped of Chris Hemsworth's head, right?
Yeah.
His head is the exact same size in both shots, CinemaScope and IMAX Enhanced. It's the exact same size. It just looks bigger because now you see his whole head. You feel like you're getting a bigger version, but back and forth, it's literally the exact same size. You're just taking the black bars off the top and the bottom.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now the changes in how it looks, is that just a difference in streaming versus disc?
I think so. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think it's so when you stream, my rudimentary version, you're way more versed at this stuff than I am, but my rudimentary version is like to get into streaming, to get stuff to go through the quote pipeline. You crop a little off the top, a little off the bottom. It's not what they do, but I'm just picturing this. It's like a little off the top, a little off the bottom. So a little of your brightness is gone and a little bit of your deep blacks are gone. And we're going to send through the majority through here. Most people, 99% of the population, will never notice a difference. Who cares?
Nope.
And they do the same thing with sound. And that's why I think when you and I talked before, you mentioned that the sound seems to be the more that suffers more through streaming.
Definitely. It definitely does.
Because you can feel that bass is missing. Mm-hmm. Literally, you're like, it's just not the same thump, right? So it's literally like if you're cropping your audio for a podcast or something, you're like, it's just cropping off a little bit here and they're taking out a little bit.
You can
bit
hear
here.
The missing bits. Yeah, definitely.
And all those bits that most people would never know are missing, it saves space to be able to get this to get through the streaming pipeline. And but it looks fantastic. It still does.
It still looks very good.
Yeah. So by cropping off a little bit of those brightness at the top in the picture, well, that takes away from your vibrancy in all the way through the range, because now anything that should have popped a little bit is going to be, the entire range has been compressed. So, and it's so minor, but at the same time, if you're looking at, you know, CinemaScope to CinemaScope, it's a little bit more obvious because it's a one-to-one. You're looking at the same image. There's no, your brain isn't telling you like, wow, this is awesome. You're literally, but when you take away those black bars, you're like, this is fantastic. And at the same time, the sound even sounds a little bit better because your brain's telling you that you're watching a little bit when the sound is actually downgraded over the disc. So I just, like you said, it's marketing. But isn't that what we want as home theater fans? Because then if more people are buying it, there's more opportunities for us.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you want more people to get involved.
Yeah.
But I do want more people to get, I mean, personally, maybe selfishly, I want more people to get involved wanting quality.
Yeah.
Right. Which, you know, that's my fear is that this will be something where they're like, hey, the aspect ratio is different. But what else is different? Nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's no picture quality improvements. Yep. The sound is still compressed and kind of eh. I don't know.
I think
we're going to have to see how this plays out.
I mean, to go along with the marketing line, don't you think, wouldn't you say that it's kind of a smart idea to roll each piece out one at a time? Because you roll out the picture for the masses and everybody gets used to that. And they're like, that's great. The only people that are upset about the lack of DTSX right now are the people that know what it is. Mm-hmm. The home theater fans, right? But the masses, they don't even know what they're missing yet. Now we add that in. And what if it is slightly got a bass boost to it, which you know it's going to over an Atmos track, even through a sound bar or somebody with a sound bar and a bass cube or whatever they have in their living room, they're going to notice a slight difference, especially the way they've set this up so nicely with Disney Plus, where you can pause the movie, go back, choose the other version, and it hit play, and it starts right back up where you left off. So it lets the entire world AB everything. Mm. So I think the marketing, like you said, it's like it's going to enable everybody to be educated at a nice pace. And it also gives them a marketing boost each time they roll out a piece.
Yeah. You know? I mean, and they're also lining up the, you have to buy the equipment aspect to this.
Correct.
I mean, this is definitely going to be a big push. I read a quote. I don't have it in front of me, but someone from IMAX was talking about, hey, yeah, you can enjoy it now on your TV. You don't need any equipment, but down the road, you're going to want to buy the receiver
to take the full speaker. Advantage. All right. I hope it doesn't become, I hope it, like THX, you didn't have to have a THX system to play the THX discs, right? It was just something extra that would get, so if you didn't have it, you still got the discs. I hope that like an IMAX enhanced on Disney Plus, like my receiver, it's an Atmos DTSX receiver, but it was right before IMAX enhanced came out there. I don't have it, but I don't need it. It's like I'm not using it. I'm my system is already there. So I'm hoping that they don't go that route, but I do. I mean, I get what they're doing. Like, hey, you want to take full advantage of all this, just like THX did. You're going to want to do this, get your IMAX enhanced TV so that you can have it. You're going to get the picture that you're supposed to get with IMAX enhanced.
Well, that may be the most important thing in this is that it will instruct your TV to go into a mode, right?
Yeah.
Like filmmaker mode.
Yeah.
That to me is big. The sound side of it, can you hear a difference really? Like, let's say you had IMAX enhanced on your receiver and you're switching between the two. I don't believe that you're going to hear a tremendous difference.
Right.
Now I've heard demos where they said it's IMAX enhanced. And to me, I didn't walk away going, wow,
right,
that was amazing.
No more amazing than anything else.
Yeah.
It sounded like Atmos or DTS:X. And
right.
Yeah. I've had,
right. And I will say though, if you've ever heard Oro 3D done correctly, you will walk away and say, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet, and I've heard a lot of my listeners have said, you've got to try this out. You've got to get this. And my receiver is capable of it. I have to do the upgrade. I have to do the download for it. But I also would have to install the Voice of God speaker, which I'm not opposed to.
You wouldn't necessarily have to.
It can do a virtual, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. And you said your ceilings are pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
So all you need are front height and rear height channels.
That's what I have. I have four in-ceiling speakers now.
Are they in-ceiling? Well, the Oro 3D channels go on the top of your wall. They're not above your head.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, you don't mount them above your head. Now, you can have a Voice of God, which is a single speaker above your head, but
right,
it's not necessary to get the effect. It's really eye-opening when you hear it.
I mean,
it's spectacular. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's based on planes that we hear in. So you have your, you know, and basically the way Wilfried Van Balen, who created it, explained it to me, is that he's capturing the reflections that we hear in our normal environment from up high, because rarely do we have sound coming straight down to us.
Right.
What we are hearing are these reflections, and that's what they capture and they reproduce. And it's crazy. I can't believe it hasn't caught on, to be honest. I mean,
it's mostly in Europe though. It's pretty big over there.
Europe and Asia. And even there, they don't really have that many films released in the home.
I've had people telling me just running it, like using that in lieu of Atmos is pretty good. Their upmix is.
Oh yeah. The Oro. Oromatic.
The upmix. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Oromatic?
Oromatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically I would have to install four more speakers on the side high on my wall. And then what would I do? I'm wondering if I can even do that. Would it switch between? That's a fun project.
Probably not.
I'd have to run it that way.
You'd have to run it that way.
Okay.
I don't know. I see if I can dig up a demo disc. I might be able to send you.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll look into it. See if I can. There might be a way that I can, you know, if I'm going to run it that way, be able to switch back and forth. Maybe even if I did it, what if I amped it out? Because I have an amp sitting around, and be able to amp out those speakers, and then be able to go from, like right now I'm running 11, so I would basically be trying to run 15. But only 11 would be running at a time.
Right.
I'm wondering
if you have to look in your manual and see if it's possible to do that. I think the X8500H can switch between the two.
Okay.
But I'm not sure about which model do you have?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. Let me look it up. I never remember these numbers. It's like, I'm always like, I got the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, current. Let's see. Yeah. I always save it in my notes. All right. Oh, of course it doesn't come up the way I want it to.
Well, we can talk about it later.
Yeah.
But not to derail the conversation.
Yeah, but let's
from IMAX. But yeah, I guess I'm just wondering if you could actually hear the difference. I'm not totally convinced you would. And when they talk about giving you the IMAX sound, I don't know about you. When you go to the movies, an IMAX presentation, I always leave and I'm like, God, that was so loud.
Yeah.
They
go beyond just boosting the bass. They go to
your ears off.
Yeah. And it's, I honestly prefer the Dolby Cinema sound. I think that is the best sound.
Dolby Cinema is amazing.
If you could
100%
combine those two, the giant screen and Dolby Cinema, then I mean, you got something there. And that's kind of what I think we do in our theaters. You know, it, obviously, I don't have an IMAX. I don't have a wall, but I do for my room. My wall is that screen. So it's like when you run it like that, it's it's not, you know, a 10, you know, 10 story wall, but it's a giant screen for a small room. Let's get to some of these comments that we from people on IMAX Enhanced here. Martin Anderson says, is IMAX Enhanced another stab at the slow death of physical media? If streaming versions of movies keep changing every year, it's a small group of people that would want to buy the disc of a seemingly inferior product. For example, I told my wife, hey, look at this new version. And I think he went on, and she doesn't care. I think he went on to say from there. But do you think... I'll let you answer what you think of that first, and then I'll give you my opinion.
I don't know. I think the IMAX Enhanced that we're seeing rolled out with Disney is different than what would be on disc. So I think they're two different animals. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about it, but
I love the idea. Like he said, is it another stab at the slow death of physical media? I don't think anybody's trying to kill physical media. We'll do that. The consumer will do that, right? If we bought it in masses, they would sell it in masses. They want to make money, right? So I don't think that the companies are trying to kill it. But what I do think is that, like, I don't think THX was a slow death. I mean, it's basically the same thing as THX, but that wasn't trying to kill any kind of physical media. That was trying to enhance physical media, right? Yeah. So I think IMAX Enhanced could do the same thing. If they really wanted to push it, they could roll this product out to us. And it's like, I mean, they say, so people are like, well, they don't want to make discs because discs cost a lot of money to make. It's cheaper to put out streaming. I hate to tell people this because it sounds like I'm being a jerk, but I'm like, then you don't understand business, because it's not like they're rolling the disc out to us and giving it to us for free. Or making very little, they could make more money on the disc if they wanted to, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, if nobody bought it, then you don't make it. But if people are buying it, you can set your profit margins at the same thing. So yes, is it cheaper to roll out Disney something onto Disney Plus? Yeah, but that's why you charge less. You only pay $7 a month for that, but I pay $30 for the disc.
Right.
So your profit margins could be the same. And it's like, which are you going to make more money at? Which is it's a matter of how do they want to keep the home theater fan happy, or do they want to keep making money doing this? It's more about the consumer than it is about them. If we keep buying it, and it's already, like he said, he's like, changing every year, it's a small group of people that would want to buy the disc. We're already a small group of people.
We are. We definitely are.
Yeah. Especially the 4K discs. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 6% of sales. I mean, DVD continually is almost 70% of disc sales every month. So, yeah, we're a small segment. I don't think they're trying to kill off disc with it. I think you're right. It is an enhancement.
Right.
And, but I also, like I said, I think they're two different animals. I think with Disney, it's largely trying to get people to sign up.
Yeah.
Sign up and enjoy, you know, the content. But I don't think they're trying to push people away from the disc.
No, because they could use it to, I mean, they've already started selling, they've had discs, so they can use it as an enhancement to sell their discs. So, MP says, at Brightside HT, hey DJ, great podcast, keep it up. Heard you mention during your IMAX Enhanced segment about wishing Sony had a streaming service. Check out Bravia Core, free subscription with Bravia TVs, features IMAX Enhanced and DTS:X titles at 80 megabytes per second streaming. Have you looked into this? I looked into it at all. Are you familiar with this? Okay.
I'm vaguely familiar, but I've never seen it in action.
Okay. I haven't either. And apparently the only people that can see it in action are people that buy a Bravia television. And it's a service that is embedded into the television. You can't get it anywhere else. So this is, it's great. It's not great. And but here's why I'm going to give you. Obviously, it's not great because somebody like myself and actually Daddy 077 said I agree with what I'm about to say. He's like, he has a VPL VW 715 projector, Sony projector, and he can't get Bravia. I have the 295. I can't get any Bravia. Why can't I get Sony stuff with my Sony projector? Yeah. Right. It should be, but if you buy a $1,500 television, you can get it. But if you buy a $5,000, as he put, a $5,000 to $80,000 high-end theater product, you can't have it. Well, here's the thing. One of the reasons they do this is to show off their product, right? To show off how good this thing can be, how good your television can be, how good IMAX Enhanced can be. Well, if they rolled this out to the masses, I don't think it would work. If they're streaming at 80 megabytes per second, the reason Kaleidoscape works so well, it's a limited group of people accessing their servers. Mm-hmm. Very limited, right?
Very limited.
Same here. If you're going to roll if they rolled this out and said everybody with an Apple TV can get this, it would probably shut down Bravia Core. Because every home theater fan with an Apple TV or would run out and buy an Apple TV or something. You know, and that's how important that streaming is. And if they're running supposedly lossless video or whatever they're doing with this IMAX Enhanced streaming service, it has to be limited. Very, very similar to when Apple first came out with the iPhone. If you remember, it was only, you could only get it on the AT&T phones.
Right.
You couldn't get it on Verizon. Yep. And the reason was they didn't want to shut it down. It would have been too much of a overload to the Apple servers and everything that made the iPhone great. It would have shut it down if the whole world got it. So they only rolled it out to, for all intents and purposes, half the world.
Hmm.
And it a lot of it has to do with that infrastructure. It's just not there. So.
Yeah, no, I'm not that familiar with the whole Sony.
Yeah. I looked into it.
Did you look into the catalog?
It has like all the Spider-Mans were in there. Venoms. Yeah. It's got, I mean, it's not huge, but it's got all the action movies. It's got enough there that I would probably sit down for a good month and just AB compare. It would be a blast to do. I understand why they're doing what they're doing. It's a sales gimmick. It's marketing, but I never ever say that in a negative tone because that's their purpose.
It's not too dissimilar from IMAX Enhanced. I mean,
right.
Although IMAX is not forcing you to buy equipment to get access yet.
No, you don't. No. Well, THX didn't force you to buy anything either, but they had THX discs and you would buy those. Or remember Superbit. Remember the Superbit DVDs.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah. Those had like, I don't know, on my TV with the 480 lines of resolution. Damn, it looked crisper. You're like, that looks great. And you're like, it was a super bit. It's all something to get us to plunk down a few more bucks. And the one I put when I talked about it, I read that article and the guy wrote an entire article about IMAX Enhanced and saying that Disney Plus, he literally wrote, I'm getting the feeling they're only doing this to get people to keep their streaming service. You know, I try not to swear on my podcast, but I was very close. I'm like, no blank, you idiot. I'm like, do people really think that people are inventing this stuff to roll it out for free so that they can just, you know, hey, I'm going to donate this to the world.
Right. No. It's like, well, the hope is that they're doing it for both reasons, right? To keep subscribers, to get more coming in, but also to improve quality.
To improve quality, and at the end of the day, to me, it also, and why I continue to call this a game changer, is it's a point in history where we're going to look and go, IMAX Enhanced, we all found out what it was, and you're going to see an uptick in Dolby Atmos. It's competition.
Yeah.
And competition breeds excellence. If you only have one of something, they can just, whatever. You can just give them crap and you can't compare it to anything. So you don't even know it's crap. But if you have two of something and they're both trying to better each other, the consumer wins every single time. And that's why
DTS has been chasing Dolby
constantly.
Yeah, they weren't before immersive sound became the thing, but Atmos cornered the market fairly aggressively.
Dolby was always Dolby was streaming. Dolby was broadcast television. DTS has never made it to the masses. In home theater, I would say the disc to Dolby was comparable, but
that's
you
what
remember,
I was referring to.
Remember what do you call X-Files in Dolby surround? Dolby has always been Dolby's been around since the 70s. Dolby came out with Star Wars. That was their big push. DTS didn't come until Jurassic Park till 93. We get that, that ups the game. You could say that Jurassic Park is the inventor of Atmos, because DTS is like, all right, now there's somebody else. How are we going to beat them? You know what? We're going to go with height channels. We can do it. Now DTS is like, all right, we got to do DTSX. These are all great things. It's all marketing. It's all the way to get us to buy product, but we're winning. As a consumer, we win every single time. Whether you like one or the other, you're going to win, because you're going to pick one. You're going to love it. And that's the way, it's just great.
You know, I'm seeing my battery light is beginning to blink at me on my laptop here. But I heard a story about the first time that immersive sound was presented to the world. It was at this conference. And as the story goes, the Dolby folks were literally running out of the auditorium.
Maybe
embellished somewhat, but the point is that they caught wind like, holy crap, this is going to be something.
Yeah.
And I believe I'd have to go back and talk to the person that told me this, but I believe that they basically bought up, you know, the chips that were going to be needed. I mean, they cornered the market pretty much right away.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took over North America. You know, DTS has been trying to claw their way back in, you know, because they had a lot of success with the DTS Master Audio.
Yeah.
You know, and that Oro pretty much got shut out of North America by Dolby. I mean, this is their territory.
Yeah.
They're never going to get in here. They're here in theaters.
Dolby does two things. They do a really good job at sound, and they do a really good job at making it easier to implement, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oro might have great sound, but it's harder to implement. You know what? So especially even if you're in a country that has it, it's just a harder system to implement into your... Dolby came out with Atmos where they're... I mean, it's easier. It's way inferior, but hey, put these little guys on top of your speakers. It'll shoot it to the ceiling.
Right.
Just anything to get it out to people, right?
Right. Oh, or yeah, they just rushed it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's a rush out, but it's a rush out for people that didn't want to do it right. I never had any intention of doing that. I'm like, I'm cutting holes in my ceiling. I'm like, it's a dedicated room.
Too.
Anyways, I'm like, let's go. Here we go. Yep. I want it. And I bought the first receiver that came out. It was an Onkyo receiver. As soon as it came out, I'm like, that I ordered it before it was even out. I want that. I heard it in the theater. I want the next thing. I want more speakers. I want them to mean something. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's that's the way it is. It's all marketing. And like I said, we're winning. So I'll let you go before your computer dies. This was supposed to be a 5 or 10 minute conversation, Tom.
I know. I hope we accomplished what you were looking to accomplish.
We did. We had a great conversation. We talked about IMAX. You answered a lot of questions about the history, where it came from. I think hopefully the listeners got a little bit out of it, and that was great.
Awesome.
Thank you
much. It's been awesome seeing you and catching up.
Yeah, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
We're going to be in the same state, buddy.
I know. If I wasn't going to be on that island.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd swing by and say hi.
Well, the rumor was is you were going to be on the mainland, but you heard I'm here, so you grabbed an island.
I'm going to. Just keep that storm away from the coast, right?
I'm got my fingers crossed. I told you, I don't think it looks like any storms coming up here.
I need some good.
You're going to have a blast there. I love Nantucket. Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
all
I
right.
Hope you have a great Thanksgiving too.
You too. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you again to Todd. You can find him on Twitter @AVWoofer. And of course, follow along over on avnirvana.com. Subscribe to their website, subscribe to their forum, get on there, start chatting, start talking. But I hope that helped everybody. I mean, I had a great time making it, recording that, talking with Todd, just getting that information about what it was like at Cedia, what it was like when IMAX was rolled out. And we talked for a little while afterwards too. And he agrees with me. It's like, it's all about marketing, but that's good. And we should be pushing for stuff like that. And we really should, because like I said, we're the winners. And I hope everybody can kind of see what I'm talking about there, because whether you like it or not, you should always be looking for people to push the envelope, people to be trying to do something different, because that's how things are made better. That's how things are invented. People come up with different ideas. So looking forward to everything that comes with IMAX Enhanced, Dolby, DTS, all of that fun stuff, Oral 3D. Hopefully we get more of that too. Who knows? It's all good for us. It's all fun. All right. Now, let's get to that question. All right. So Francis wrote to me, and I said earlier, I'll start it again. So Francis wrote to me and he says, will you be doing a video on your thoughts on your Lumigen? And I laughed. I saw it and I replied to him. I said, I can. I was wondering if I should. As you can tell from my podcast, my first impressions are that it's spectacular. I honestly felt that I mentioned it too much and that people were getting annoyed. But honestly, I do love it and I would be excited to talk about it more. And then Francis replied, he's like, you should. You keep teasing us about it and just move on. I want to know its features, what it does, how good a picture it gives out, etc., etc. And I said, well, I can give you a complete and detailed description in this week's podcast. So I'm going to give you my complete and detailed description. If you want to know all of the features of the Lumigen, the best thing to do is just Google Lumigen. Okay. That's what I did. When my projector guy, when Jim, he proposed this to me months and months ago. He proposed that I get a Lumigen because that would be the next step in the evolution of my theater. And the price tag was pretty heavy. And I was like, I don't know. And at the time, I was considering buying a new projector. And that's why he proposed the Lumigen. So I started looking it up and I was like, okay, well, it does this, it does this. And I'm like, that's all well and good. But I'm like, what if I get a JVC? And in my JVCs do tone mapping, the Lumigen does tone mapping, stuff like, and that was the biggest thing that I wanted to get, but I didn't really have a need for it. And I really liked the new Sony projectors when they came out. I also, the newest ones this year, I also like the new JVC projectors. I love that idea. I was thinking, what if I could sell my Sony and get myself a JVC, the $10,000, the laser projector, and get this, that. It has tone mapping and stuff. And Jim told me, he's like, no. He's like, just go with the Lumigen. Well, lo and behold, my daughter gets engaged, and that kind of put everything on hold because it was a lot of money. And I wasn't doing well at work, so I needed to be saving some money. So a bunch of things happened while I was doing my research. So in my research, I found here are some of the highlights of what else a Lumigen can do. It's a fantastic HDMI switch. Fantastic. I mean, you can buy the super expensive ones that have multiple ins, multiple outs. You can order it with the different gigahertz, 18 gigahertz, 9 gigahertz inputs, outputs, blah, 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 all of that fun stuff. It can switch the audio. It can actually move the audio from, you can split it, okay? Split the audio. Just send a video only signal, the audio signal. So you could run everything into it and have your receiver only get one thing at a time, okay? So, and there is, if you look at some of the reviews online, they'll tell you this is a better HDMI switch than a receiver is. Stretching the screen. It can also, if you want to fill your screen, it can morph this thing into, it can take a picture and it can fill a 16 by 9 screen with a CineScope picture. It does crazy things, and it looks pretty good. I haven't used it, but the reason I'm kind of like sketchy and all over the place with the description of what these things do is because that's, I don't use those. I strictly use this for tone mapping. I bought the cheapest version of the Lumigen, the Lumigen Radiance Pro 4242. And what that is it's basically, I'm using one in and one out. So I run everything into my receiver, out of my Denon, into the Lumigen, from the Lumigen directly into the Sony. And that's it. So this is scaling, this is tone mapping, I should say, everything. My son's video games, all of it tone maps my Zepedi, my Panasonic 820, and my Apple TV 4K. Everything. Just it's just a run between my receiver and my projector. So for that, what ends up happening is where this thing shines for me is it takes a projector and it maximizes and squeezes every last bit out of your projector. Honestly, I don't think I can't even do it justice on the description because I did an extensive research looking into this for quite a while, probably a month the first time. And then before I actually bought one, another month worth of research. And that's like every day looking stuff up, watching videos, reading stuff, all of these things. I talked extensively with Rob H. We went back and forth, especially after I bought it. Rob knows this too. I also bought an HD Fury because HD Fury Diva, I think the most expensive one they have now, because I was looking for something to help with my video. So before we get to why the Lumigen is fantastic and what it does, here's what finally pushed me over the limit. It was the show Foundation. That show is shot so well. And if you guys know from listening to this podcast, I think I've said this before, that's it's what got me to buy the Lumigen. And so what happened is the show, there was so much black crushing going on with the show Foundation that it was getting frustrating. And it was getting to the point where it was taking me out of the show because it was aggravating me so much because I loved the show so much. I loved the way they shot it. It was so subtle. And then that's where that crushing gets so bad because you have those subtle gradations in light and dark that the black gets, it couldn't do it. The projector couldn't handle it. So I was like, oh, that's it. I think we all look at this stuff and go, well, that's just the limitation of a projector, right? That's why you got to get a JVC that has tone mapping. It won't be as bad, and it isn't. So I'm like, okay. And that's why you need to get an OLED. That's why you should have a TV. That's why you shouldn't do a projector. All of those different things. So I was like, but there's gotta be a better way, right? So I'm looking into this stuff, and like I said, I tried the HD Fury, didn't do anything of what I needed it to do. So I returned that. That was a $500 item. Look into the Lumigen, talk to Jim. Things are going better at work, better than they were 6 months ago. And Jim was able to get me a demo model from a buddy of his. And I was able to get it. So I saved a little bit of money off of it, but I was able to get one. And it's like I said, the 4242, I wasn't able to program it. I wasn't able to not program it, but order the, you know, 9 gigahertz or 18 gigahertz, but I have an 18 gigahertz in and an 18 gigahertz out. That's all I needed. That's all I cared about. I think I have 2 18 ins and 1 9 or something like that, whatever, but it doesn't matter. I only care about the one in and one out. So I told Rob that I bought it, and he was like, oh, And he's like, that's a lot of money. And for something that is, you know, you could have spent that money on a JVC. You could have done this. And then my reply to him was, but when you AB these things, people are blown away by it. And he warned me. And it was a great warning. And I didn't fully understand what he was saying at the time. But once I got it, I understood what he was saying. He warned me of this, the stuff that you hear on the internet. Any of the reviews you hear when they're doing an AB of a Lumigen, it's this. It's that, oh, wow, it blows it out of the water. And what he was saying is, he goes, it's not a fair interview. It's not a fair comparison because of what you have to do. And I was like, I didn't understand. Let me tell you what I come to understand and what Rob was talking about. My projector was set up to run as best as it possibly could off of my Apple TV, off of my system, okay? Without a Lumigen. It was calibrated. It was the light settings. Everything was set to do everything at the best possible way that it could without a Lumigen. When you get your Lumigen is now going to be doing all the tone mapping, all the color scaling, all everything that the projector would be doing as stuff came in. So Sony has their proprietary, like, quote unquote, it's not tone mapping, but you know how they manipulate a picture. Okay, this is an HDR source. This is how we're going to project this onto the screen. It has its own proprietary programs to maximize HDR. I can't resist, whatever it is. But it, not the smoothing and stuff, but you know what I mean. Rob can spout this stuff off left and right. My brain's not as good. But anyways, what it's doing is the projector is set up to do its own thing. Same with a JVC. JVC just adds in that bit of tone mapping. And I say a bit because it does do frame by frame, but it still can only take each picture, each frame, and it takes an average or something of the brightness. It's not like 100%. Compared to what the Lumigen can do. But anyways, so the JVC can do a little bit of tone mapping. So what happens is my projector looked really good before. It looked really good. And you guys heard my podcast for the last 2 years talking about scenes, talking about HDR, how much I loved a scene, everything like that. And I did. It did look good. But the thing is the way the projector's set up, it's set up to run without a Lumigen. Soon as you put a Lumigen on it, now the Lumigen's doing everything. All those settings that were on the projector, they're all shut off. It's basically running kind of like a raw signal. It just, the Lumigen has done all the work. Now the projector is just putting out everything. It's everything as it's getting it. It's hard to describe, but basically what happens is, if you tried to, like, say I disconnected the Lumigen, the path, and I just ran directly into the receiver and I took that signal and that's my AB, like, okay, now here it is without the Lumigen. Well, now the projector's not set up to run without a Lumigen. So it's kind of like it's going to look crappy. So that's what I think Rob was talking about. And I agree with him, because it's like, when you go back to see what you were running before, it's like, my projector's calibrated completely different now because it has to do different things. So that doesn't work. So of course that's going to make it look fantastic in comparison. So that was the first thing. So then after about, you know, a few days with the Lumigen, I talked to Rob again and I was like, Rob, I was like, this, it is worth the money. And this is what I'm about to tell you guys. And Rob did agree with me after he is excited for me. But here's the thing. It is, to say it's fantastic, to say it's spectacular is an understatement, because it does. It absolutely maximizes a projector. It takes my image and makes it look like what I had before. And I'm talking all the 2 years I podcasted before this, all the time I watched this 4K projector, because I literally got this projector the month I started podcasting. I bought it because I knew I was going to be doing a podcast and I wanted to have 4K and be able to talk about 4K HDR. So this, for my entire existence up until now, all of my reviews have been done without a Lumigen, and I thought it was great. But now I'm like, I feel silly because I'm like, it wasn't great. I didn't see the image I'm seeing now is so much better. The tone mapping is insane. How it takes the image and turns it into what you see projected onto your screen. So I've told this story before about the Lumigen, but I went to the scene in Foundation where the character is on the middle of she's in the middle of the screen, and the crushing that was going on there was so bad. I put that scene on and I was like, she's in a hallway. I didn't even know it was a hallway. And the hallway has like the light was like great, like gradually fading as it went deeper in behind her, but it was all being crushed to black. But now I get to see the details all on the sides, all in the back. There is so much more. And your brights are brighter. The darks are darker. My son is blown away in his video games. It's what it's doing is it's making the life easier for the Sony, and it's rendering everything correctly. It's rendering it like an OLED. Like I said, the first time I talked about the Lumigen, I'm not afraid to see a OLED anymore because I'm not afraid to be like, oh, I'm missing details. I am not missing details. My only limitation now is that it's a projector and it can't get as black as an OLED. I know the JVCs can get a little bit blacker, darker, but I can't imagine it's that much better. I have an opportunity. I'm hopefully in the next month or so, I'll be comparing a JVC to my Sony, not in the same house. I'm going to be visiting, going back and forth. And that's a JVC with a Lumigen on it. So all of the scenes I went and watched some scenes in Loki where there was some crushing, gone, details pulled out that I never saw before. I watched some scenes in WandaVision, crushing, details pulled out. Opening of The Matrix, never, ever knew that in the opening scene when all the green like letters and numbers are scrolling down in the background, in between each of those letters, you can see little gray numbers, symbols behind them. It's very faint, but it's there. There are details being pulled out of my screen that I never, ever saw before. All right, let's get to the elephant in the room. JVC has tone mapping. Lumigen is a really expensive version of tone mapping. Is it worth it? In my opinion, and it's just my opinion, and also, take this opinion with a grain of salt. I've never seen a JVC in my room. I've never seen it compared to a Sony. So I don't know the difference off like by personal experience seeing it firsthand. But I'm going to make a case for you on why I believe, yeah, the Lumigen is better. It'll blow it away. This, in my case, is because read all the reviews for yourself. Go online, JVC, better blacks, better tone mapping, so you get a better image than the Sony's, than the comparable Sony. So your entry-level 4K Sony, your entry-level JVC, and then Sony, JVC, and match them all the way up, and every reviewer will tell you, if you're reading about the Sony, they'll tell you the JVC is a little better, but if you're a Sony fan, you really can't go wrong here. They're very close, right? JVC's reviews, they'll say, these are the best models. They're very good. And they'll leave it at that. But everybody will tell you the Sony's and the JVC's are very close. What I witnessed before is not close to JVC. Okay. So my Sony, what I saw before, I thought was really good. what I see now, my Sony, and that's a 295 Sony, whatever the number is, a Sony VPLW VW 295 ES, okay, few years old, couple years old, 4K HDR, that paired with a Lumigen, it's not even the same image as what the Sony used to look like. So if the JVC was just as good as a Sony with a Lumigen, nobody in their right mind would ever say the Sonys and the JVCs were close. There's no way. When you see what I've seen, there is no way you would compare those two and say they're close. What people have told me, Jim, my projector guy, told me, he's like, a Sony with a Lumigen is superior to any of the JVC models without one. Okay? So, and I know people with JVC models with a Lumigen. So if JVC's tone mapping was that great, why would they go get a Lumigen? Because it's not. It's, and it's not meant to be. It can't be. The Lumigen alone cost as much as an entry-level JVC or an entry-level Sony. So my Sony and a Lumigen cost roughly the same as the $10,000 JVC model. But my Sony has a better image than the JVC model. The $10,000, it's way better than the JVC model. You would want to put the Lumigen on that $10,000 JVC. Are the black levels on a JVC better? Yeah, you're going to get a little bit darker in certain areas, but when you see, when you take in this entire image, you're going to, you don't, I'm not saying you don't care about how dark it is. You are just so blown away at all the detail, everything that you're seeing on a giant screen. We're not used to seeing this level, or at least I am not used to seeing this level of detail on a 110-inch screen. You can get this level of detail on your 65 or 75-inch OLED or a really good television, but you're talking, you know, you're looking at $3,000, $4,000 for a large screen, which is, that's still not that large, but it's, you're getting great detail, but it's not that big. Now imagine you're blowing that up by 20, 30%. You're getting to 100, 110 inches, and you're getting all of that detail. Now, I don't know. Maybe my next projector will be a JVC. I don't know. Because as I've said before on the podcast, sitting there talking with Jim while we're calibrating the Lumigen and the Sony, I said, what's my next projector? Because I was like, I'll start saving for next summer. And maybe we'll see, maybe I'll get a JVC, get my black levels better. And he goes, no, you're done. Couple of years. He's like, couple of years. He goes, by the time you need this, by the time this combination is out of date, projectors might be out of date. And if they're not, the next one compare on this, you'll pair with the Lumigen and it'll blow everything else away. So the Lumigen is here to stay. Until I get something that doesn't require that level of tone mapping, which would probably be the micro LEDs or something, some kind of a giant screen. I don't know. But that's how I feel about the Lumigen. That's all of the information that I personally know. I'm not Rob. But if you, like I said before, if you guys want, if you want to know all of the features, and it does a ton of stuff. Very much like a Kaleidoscape, does a ton of stuff that I would never use. Like when we were talking about the Kaleidoscape and it's got a flag on it to dim your lights. Well, you've got to have like a special light system for that flag to trigger that. Well, the Lumigen is very much like that. It does a ton of stuff that like if you switch to, if it goes from this aspect ratio to this aspect ratio, it'll automatically stretch. It can eliminate the anamorphic lens, which a lot of people say is a lot better because it's faster because the anamorphic lens is motorized, so it takes time, where the Lumigen does it like that, and that makes everything faster, smoother. It can change, you know, when you're switching inputs, it can do that stuff faster. You can change the ED, EDID, all that information. It can do all, it can do so much stuff behind the scenes that it, I mean, really is meant for an installer to, you know, simplify your system so that you don't know what's going on. The person paying for it, they don't know what's going on. They just know they have a great image no matter what they do with their source, which source it is or anything like that. Lumagen can do so much stuff. I'm only utilizing it for the tone mapping, and it is totally, totally worth it for me. If you guys are considering saving up for one, I highly recommend it. I don't think you would be disappointed, but I also recommend having somebody help you install it, whether it's a, you know, a professional calibrator or somebody come out to install it. I do know someone, Nelson, one of my listeners. Hi, buddy. He installed his himself, and he says it's fairly simple. As a matter of fact, Jim told me he could walk me through the installation, but he, I was like, come on out. He had it. I'm like, just come on out. I'll pay you and you can put it in. So we did, but it is pretty simple for what I'm, that's what they say. I'm not saying it's simple, but that's what I've been told. It's fairly simple, but if you like to be hands-on, but I like to have somebody there because if something goes wrong, it's fairly expensive. I don't want to screw it up myself. So I that's how I leaned on that one, but highly recommend it. I hope that helped. And like I said, I felt bad. I don't like to, it is such a luxury item, and I didn't want to talk about it a lot because I feel like if I'm like, hey, my Lumagen, like, haha, I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. I'm very, very lucky. I'm very lucky to have met Jim years ago. And we become friends, and that's how I get this, you know, get this information and get this stuff and everything. And I just feel bad. So I didn't want to, but I am very excited about it. Absolutely love it. If anybody has any other particular questions, I'll try to answer them, but I don't know if I have really anything else other than that. It literally is awesome. And it's what it does is, I'm in my theater way more now, just watching scenes. Absolutely love it. Streaming service, any of the streaming HDR, anything. It is really, really good. So highly, highly recommend it. So that's it for this week. That's a long show. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to everybody over on Patreon. Thank you to all my patrons supporting me over there. Really appreciate it. Thank you to everybody on Twitter. Thank you to BJ for the 5-star review. And guys, everybody, guys and girls, I know there's girls listening. Sorry about that. Everybody, have a great Thanksgiving. You'll hear me with AV Rant and HD Guys on Thursday morning. Until then, I won't be back until next Tuesday. But everybody, have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great holiday weekend. And I will talk to you next Tuesday. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.